went on his carnival cruise to Catalina Island in Ensenada, Mexico, and it was great. First night on the boat, we're standing in line to go in for dinner, and lo and behold, here's Richard and Pope do it. And so it's like, oh man, I know somebody. But it was like, it was funny because the people, the table that we were set at, wasn't a fit for us. apparently, one of the guys on our table didn't like coffee, and so we had to move things. But we sat with Richard and Hope and just realized that God must want us to be friends, because he puts you guys on the same boat as we were on. And it'll end up being a great time. And I have to say this, as I'm going to invite them to come up. There are people in your lives that you give permission to speak into your life verbally, right? But then there's people in your life that they speak into your life by the way they live their life. And it's one of the things that I love about Richard and Hope is they live for Jesus. They live every aspect of their life that is sold out for Jesus and sharing Jesus with teenagers and children in intercultural ministries, mostly the reservations in Montana. And so, without any other introduction, I'm going to invite Richard and I don't know if Hope's coming up or you're not really going to sit there. And can we just give him a warm new life welcome, please, as he comes forward? So.
It's great to be here this morning. Just love the worship. Yeah, it was pretty crazy running into you guys on the cruise, and thank you for making us feel so welcome then when you let out that deep sigh. I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not really too worried about being too formal after the way I saw how you guys opened up the service. And very comfortable, and makes you feel like, you know what, I think I like this place. If I'm going to move to Conrad, I might go to church here. When you're a missionary, you have the challenge of going into a church you don't really know hardly anybody. I mean, there's a few faces like Diana and Wanda. We hadn't seen you guys in so long, and trying to figure out, well, how do we connect, and really what does God want to do here this morning? And I believe that God has purpose this morning, just as much as he did on that cruise with Dave and Charity. And God just, he works through our lives, and he works in every individual who is open or sensitive or at least willing for him to speak and to do. He's got something to say, and he has life-changing encounters that he wants to bring into our lives that many times we're unaware of until the moment, or sometimes even after that. I grew up as a missionary kid in South America. My parents were missionaries in Bolivia. And so all my early years, that's all I knew. We didn't have any running water, no electricity, and lived out in this little village. And I thought that was normal living. You know, I thought that's where everybody lived. And to see where now at 60 years old, how most of my life's been used up. I mean, even if I lived to be like 80 or 90, most of it's gone. There's just a few years left. And, it just makes me more and more aware and of the time I have left. And I pray this morning that God would stir our hearts with that realization, whether we're, you know, at the beginning and most likely have most of our life ahead of us, or whether we're in the middle somewhere or kind of looking at the sunset, wondering when it's going to go down on us, you know, God has something for our lives as long as we have breath to breathe. And that excites me. I'd like to just share maybe just a little bit of our background, just so that we'll kind of become friends here quickly. And then just share some of the word and share some of the things that God has called us to and see what the Lord might have in store for all of us. But my wife and I serve as missionaries with the Assemblies of God, intercultural ministries like Pastor Dave mentioned. And our passion and our calling is to Native American children and teenagers. I didn't necessarily anticipate that at 60 I'd still be doing kids ministries, but there's nothing else I'd rather do with my life. I absolutely love it. So in February of 93, so just right a couple weeks more than 30 years ago, we moved to Browning, Montana to plant the church. We'd finished raising our initial support and didn't know what we were doing. Had never pastored before. I'd been a youth pastor for several years, and this was all a new adventure. And so we moved to Browning, didn't know a soul, and rented a house over the phone, and ended up starting a church and funeral home. And I didn't see that coming either. But they weren't doing much business at the time. We couldn't find any other businesses, and this one lady that we had met suggested we ask them if they would let us use it on Sundays. And they said, yeah, for $50, go ahead. And the first Sunday, they actually had a body, so we had to cancel it to the next week before we started meeting there. But all for the adventures of serving Jesus. Pastor Dave mentioned our son, Justin, who's the youngest of our two, our daughter, Summer, and her family, and then Justin and his family. They both live over in the valley. But one of the early days, we were in the funeral home for 6 months. Justin was seven. And one of the ladies in the church came up after the service. You know, we met in the parlor, and then there was the casket display room over here. And so I'd always slide that engraved sign out and turn it backwards so you couldn't see casket display during the service. And I'd lock that door. Well, Justin knew the back way in through the office, and this lady came up to Hope after the service. She said, hey, you know what? So I just walked into office, and I saw Justin in the casket display room with a group of kids with him. And he was showing them the caskets. And he said, hey, guys, you see all these caskets? He said, that's where we put all the kids that are bad in children's church. And so, you know, I feel at home here in Conrad this morning. We're just kind of loose, you know. You just feel like we're just here to worship God and for God to do something in our hearts and our lives today. And that doesn't mean I have to change who I am. You know, God wants me to come, and He wants to encounter my life and change the things that need to change, but still let me be me. And so God did that for us in Browning, and of all the most unlikely people to send to Browning, Montana, it was us. And we spent 10 and a half years there planting a church, and Four Winds Assembly is going strong today. I marvel to see what God has raised up so far beyond anything that we were able to accomplish is being accomplished now, but God has grown fruit that remains. And I love to see that, things that last in the kingdom of God. Our ministry to Native American children and teenagers for the majority is to young people that are facing difficult life circumstances. Many times there's things that are just hard in their lives. And I just want to share a little bit of that to start with. And this will be short, but I want to set a little bit of a precedent so we can understand Native ministry maybe a little bit more than if I didn't share it. But Native American youth rank number one in the risk for suicide among young people. The risk is quadruple the national average. Statistics never have touched me very hard, very deeply, just because numbers aren't my thing. But we've seen so often firsthand what that really looks like. I was talking with Pastor Kent Burnett, who is the pastor in Busby on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. He's from Arizona. He's Apache, and his wife's Northern Cheyenne. have an awesome ministry there, and they do youth ministry and everything. But he called me up maybe a couple weeks before camp one year, and was saying, we were just kind of talking about camp and all the stuff that goes with it. And he said, "Hey, man, Pastor," he said, "could you just pray with us?" He said, "We just had a 17-year-old girl. She was a junior, but she graduated early because she had enough credits. And just this incredible young lady. And we just got word last night that she killed herself. And, she knew so many of our kids. And so we prayed. Just a couple weeks later, we were at IYC. And during our staff chapel times, one morning we gathered around the Kent and Jamie and several of their teenage kids that were there at camp. And they were just broken and crying. And the pastor that was leading the time gathered around them and was praying with them, because they had just got news the night before that while they were at camp, another young teenage boy that they had invited to come to camp that didn't come to camp killed himself at home during that same year. That same year, from Fort Belknap and the church ministry from Harlem with Jackson Melissa Henry, had in July 6 suicides. And now, you know how Fort Belknap and Harlem, that's not big. 6 suicides among teenagers in 1 month. In 1 month's time. I went to a funeral this year down by Ronan for a 15-year-old boy that everybody loved. But he was gone. He didn't make it. Somehow he believed the lie. I was at a basketball game just before the tournament started for one of the Browning teams, and I was sitting next to one of the ladies that was a part of the church way back when we were in Browning, and her son that was just a baby is on their JV team. And she was telling me about his friend on the court that was playing ball with him that evening, and they kind of had adopted him or just made him a part of their family. And just that morning, he had helped take his older brother down who had hung himself in the house that day. And, I could just go on. I could tell you story after story after story, but it's not my purpose this morning. But I want us maybe just to grasp that, I'm looking at that young man playing ball out there, and I'm thinking, no matter what else happens, he can't help but try to process what his day's been like. And I hear so many times at funerals that I go to about how, well, they're just in a better place. I don't know. First of all, I don't know that they're all in a better place. Certainly, the scriptures are clear that there's only one way you go to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And not every one of these young people that are dying knows Jesus. But I pray, God help us to do something before we have to try and process how we're going to somehow bring comfort after the fact. But God, would you breathe life and hope that would dispel these lies of the enemy before it's too late for their lives? And that to me is God's calling on our life to do that. And I know not everybody's called to native ministry. I know not everybody's called to children and teenagers all of their life. But that is what God has called us to do, to make an impact in some way in the lives of the Native American kids from across our state here in Montana. And I believe that's why God has raised the ministry of IYC, Indian Youth Camp. Everybody just calls it IYC. But I believe that's why he's raised it up, because only a genuine encounter with the present reality of Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Not just like this is about Jesus, but meeting him in person in this way. I mean, I bet if I opened it up right now, every single person in this room had some kind of pretty amazing encounter with God that changed your life. I mean, you were made in his image, and somehow, through many of you in the most unlikely circumstances, and some of you were probably like on somebody else's list that you would never give your life to Jesus, or you would be in jail, or you would be dead, or you would be something other than in church this Sunday. But God intersected your life in this incredible way that changed everything. And I think that is the reason God has raised up the ministry of IYC, to provide an opportunity for Jesus to breathe spiritual life and hope and peace and joy and purpose into a life that's able to crush the lies of despair and depression and purposelessness in life that the enemy keeps trying to speak into the lives of our native young people. I have a short video. It's a 2-minute video of IYC. This is just a camp. We do it every summer. And I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but if we have that cue, we can just go ahead and just
When I think about your goodness, my heart is overcome.
Indian Youth Camp exists to provide a week of quality camp for over 200 Native American youth each summer. It's a chance for campers to take part in games and fun activities, to see old friends and make new ones, and most importantly, to encounter Jesus Christ in a life-changing way.
If you have an opportunity to serve at IYC, I would definitely encourage you to do so.
The impact that you're going to have in these kids' lives will go so far beyond what you can imagine and what you can foresee.
My kids have such amazing times at the altar. Today, my youngest said the thing that he looks forward to the most is the altar times in church because he learns about himself and who he is in Christ.
Hundreds of volunteers make Indian Youth Camp possible year after year. From room staff to kitchen staff, every person fills a vital role in our mission to see young lives changed.
You know, we think of camp as life-changing for the students, but even more than that, I believe it's life-changing for the staff as well, as they get to minister to the kids and they get to build relationship with the kids, and to see what God is doing is incredible. And I believe that discipleship doesn't happen when we hear about ministry, but discipleship happens when we do ministry.
This is my 8th year here. And I just see a tremendous change in the students. The message that is delivered here brings hope to the native students throughout Montana.
I received a note from a girl one Sunday night right before we started the service with a lot of our volunteer staff for that year's camp, that we gather on Sunday nights to pray for the week and to prepare our own hearts and intercede for the kids. And I got a text from this girl that was an adult now, that had come to camp as a kid. And she asked me if I'd share it with everybody that was gathered there for another year of ministry. And she began her text by saying, "Before this day 12 years ago, I was tormented and in a very dark place for months, and I remember sitting on the steps at my college house, hating God, and yet asking Him if He was real and telling Him to show Himself. Well, I'm messaging all of you to let you know that 12 years ago today, I made the greatest decision of my life. I said the sinner's prayer and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I have never been the same. I'm sharing this because you have all had an impact in my life. You poured into this broken Indian girl's life and gave me hope and gave of your time to let me see Jesus through your actions. I'll never be able to repay you for that. What you did at Indian Youth Camp was not in vain. And for those still a part of camp, it's not in vain, because His word does not return void. I'm an example of that. Your prayers for my life have helped me, and I am so thankful for them." And it just brings me back to the words that the Apostle Paul writes us to us in Romans chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, we could look at that one verse, verse 16. It's not a verse that you've never heard of before. Many of you probably have memorized it, and a lot of you have just read through that over and over and over again. But the words that he says here, he's trying to communicate this whole basic idea of what this life walking with God. I mean, yeah, we're made in the image of God, but how do you connect the dots on this gospel? I mean, He's trying to get that point across. Man, this is real. There is something that I want to bring into your life personally in a way that's completely radically impactful in your life. And the words he says in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." In June of this year, we had 250 students that were at IYC, and another 15, 16, and 17-year-olds that were too old to be campers, but we have a mentoring program called Junior Staff where they come for free, and then they just serve at the camp, and they pray with kids. They help do devotions for campers that they were just like a year before, and a chance for them also just to grow in their own walk of the Lord, to be challenged. And, you know, when I think about this verse and I think about Indian Youth Camp, it just strikes me that what Paul is talking about is what was happening at Indian Youth Camp that made the most impossible things come true. What I mean is, have you ever prayed for somebody or prayed for a circumstance, and although you know God's Word says something about it, you just can't get there in your own mind? That unsaved loved one that you just said, I mean, they're a basket case, Lord. How in the world? What about our nation? Have you ever, like, prayed for your nation in the morning and you said, okay, I've prayed the same prayer for at least 750 days, and all I see is the down spiral of a society that's lost, that doesn't have any direction, doesn't have any foundation, and have lost all of the moral foundation that is necessary for my kids or my grandkids to grow up in a world that's okay. I mean, have you ever been there? And this verse reminds me that whether it's in Conrad, Montana, or whether it's up at Hungry Horse at Glacier Bible Camp, or whether it's in Browning at Four Winds Assembly this morning that's having service right now, that this truth of God's Word overrides what I can think might happen, or what I can, what I have somehow convinced myself cannot happen. I used to go to Indian Youth Camp. The first year I went to it, we were brand new. We just pulled into Browning in February. In June, there was this little camp going. I don't know, many of you remember, I got a missionary by the name of Jack Bennett, who was a part of this district for many years and was an intercultural missionary. He said, you got to come to this camp. So I go to this camp. I'm in charge of the sports program. I'd done sports stuff for our district camps back in South Carolina when I was a youth pastor. I get to this camp. There is nothing prepared. 60 kids maybe, from 8 to 18 years old, no program. And all week long, there was nothing apparent that God was even doing. It was like, why are we even here? I mean, nobody wants God. I mean, it's just fights breaking out, kids, teenage girls punching girl staff in the face, like with your fists doubled up like that. And now cops were being called to the camp, drugs being used at camp, attempted suicides at camp. And you think, God, there's no way. There's no way I can see anything happening. On Thursday night, we'd get a breakthrough, and then everybody go home on Friday morning. And it was like, God, it just doesn't seem to be any way that what we're doing is really going to make a difference. And I say, God, help us look through your eyes to see what you are doing when we don't see it with our own eyes. Amen. This last year at camp, do I have some photos up there? Oh yeah, I got the screen here. This was Indian Youth Camp this year. Maybe we could just scroll through. That's the trash can relay. The kids love that one, where you put you guys probably do that, right? You put the trash can over the head, and you're in this big wheel. You have a wheel painted on the ground, and all the spokes come together in the middle, and they have these, and they run, and their teams try to, and they all, anyway, it's hilarious when they collide with one another. But these were all kids at camp. These are some of the electives that were offered, and watching the kids being involved with the electives. Another photo here coming up after that. Some of the young boys, the girl in the background, I just think that's hilarious. It's just a thing you do nowadays. But, you know, seeing young lives, I think there's one more I'd like to show at this time. And just young lives that are now 30 years later, seeing young people that are just hungry for God, kids that are just, it's just amazing to see what God does in the lives of so many young people and realize that God had purpose in all that he was doing. One night, the Spirit of God was just so strong in the service. After the service for a couple of hours, there were kids just in God's presence and crying and praying and worshiping. And it was just, I mean, you could just cut the thickness of God's presence with a knife. It was so amazing. The whole place, not a person was acting up. Nobody was being a distraction. I mean, God was just there and everybody knew it. And there was a battle going on with this gospel of Jesus Christ that we read about. And there was this one teenage girl that was laying on the floor and others were around her praying with her. And as I was just walking past, I heard her say, "I just can't do it." And after hearing that a couple of times, I felt the Holy Spirit just prompt me to stop by. And I knelt down beside her. I said, "What is it that you can't do?" And she said, "I just can't do it." I said, "You mean you can't give your life to Jesus?" And she said, "Yeah, I can't." So I asked her, I said, "Well, do you want to?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." So I just felt the presence of the Lord. You know how sometimes God just gives you, it's like he just appoints you for something, right? And I felt the Lord's faith and strength rising up in me. And I said, "Well, you know, if you want to give your life to Jesus, there's no power in hell that can keep you from giving your life to Jesus." And right there, she prayed this simple prayer of commitment of her life to Christ, repented of her sins. And marvelous to see that in just a few minutes, all the tears were gone. She was up hugging her little friends like they do at camp, you know, and she was just a changed person in that moment. And I mean, those times are just like, yes, God, this gospel is so real. It does really make a difference. But God has created us with a mind and he's created us with emotions, right? And so sometimes we connect with God in our mind and sometimes we connect with our emotions. And camp's a really good place to connect to God with your emotions. You know, that's a time where God just can, you know, we get away from the noise of the world and our friends. And I don't know how you were as a teenager, how you are as a teenager, but when I'm around my friends, sometimes I had some really struggles to separate what God was speaking to me from what my friends were speaking to me. And sometimes it really, really messed up the direction I took in my life. But I was looking at these kids, and for years it would bother me. Because I would see these kids in God's presence in the altars, so such a real encounter with God. But then 10 minutes later, 30 minutes later, they'd be down at concessions, you know, and free time after camp, I mean, after service. And I'd see some of those same kids on there cussing. I'd see them fighting with one another. And I'd say, "God, that doesn't make sense to me." Because I know that that was real what happened in the altar, but I can't reconcile how you can't be changed enough for your behavior to be modified after the service. And one day the Lord just seemed to speak to me as I was grappling with that. And he said, "You know why, Richard?" He said, "It's because for many of these kids, they don't know me. And what they experienced in the altar is all they thought I had to offer them. They didn't know there was more." And that just gripped me. And so for the last 5 or 6 years, we began what we call the Moving Forward Initiative. But what that is it's a full-fledged commitment for kids not only to learn how to meet Jesus or to have an experience to meet Jesus, but also to learn how to walk with him. And that's through discipleship. And that has to, it can happen a little bit at that week of camp, but mostly it's about connecting with kids outside the week of camp in a way that changes their life forever. It's what is happening in Conrad in youth and children's ministry that happens outside of a service. It's walking. It's being there. It's talking about the things of God. It's doing devotions, helping young people to understand that the same presence of God that they experience at a camp is the same God that is in their hometown, that's in their very room with them in their house when their house all around them is chaos, but that God is still present there. And so for the last several years, God has helped us begin to walk with kids more and more through partnership with the local church. Some of the, do I have some pictures? Maybe show the next couple pictures. This is a picture of the kids during one of the services. And the next picture, this is a picture of the worship team from this year. And this, to me, is what God wants to do. The young man leading worship, Ben Gallagher Horn, he was leading worship this year, and all these kids were gathered in the altar. They come forward and worship. And he pointed to this one little boy down there on that, I don't know if you guys remember that old carpet that we still have there at the camp. And he said, right where you're standing there when I was 9 years old, he said, that's where I met God. And now he's the youth pastor and the worship pastor in Browning at Four Winds, and is leading worship for all the kids that come to camp, and he himself was a camper. And I was standing beside somebody, and they said, you know, everybody in that picture right there was a former camper. That's discipleship, finding ways to help young people live successfully so that they don't become just another statistic of somebody that didn't quite make it but believed the lie. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray in this city, you don't have to tell me that many of you face impossible circumstances, but we take the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith, and God works so powerfully as we continue to pray. We continue to pray. We listen to the Spirit, and sometimes we talk to somebody. Sometimes we just model for somebody that's got their eyes on us that we're not aware of. But God works by the power of His Spirit in this world in which we live and in the impossible circumstances that we find ourselves facing. And God does miracles. I look at camp nowadays and my heart is just so overwhelmed. It's been a miracle of what God has accomplished. Now, not only is the ministry of IYC there at camp, but I think I have some other pictures. Maybe we could just scroll through those altar shots fairly quickly here. Several of the former students and some of our staff wrote an IYC 365-day devotional for kids. And this year we're doing a reprint right now of those and redistributing that devotional that has some of it's got the cartoon pictures, you know, like when you flip a cartoon book, how the person moves. A lot of the activities at camp are on these pages. And so the kids can flip it through and see them shooting hoops or whatever they're doing. But it's a devotional, a one question and a one verse a day question on to encourage kids to develop their own personal walk with God. But this picture right here is one of the things that's happening outside of the week of camp. This is actually up in Browning, down by Cutbank Creek on this family ranch. And now the ministry there in Browning, not just Four Winds, but some of the other Christian people in that community, have this camp that they do on their own for kids after, separate from anything that's done at IYC. And this year I was at this camp, maybe another picture there. This is a service in a old tent that used to be one of the evangelistic tents that were used for camp meetings. And there was 45 students just from Browning that were there worshiping God and being challenged in their walk with God, hungry for God. And this year here at Cut Bank Creek, it's right on the edge of the creek. We had to walk through the barbed wire because the cows, we were actually right in the middle of the cows, home summer pasture down there along the creek, but they ran them out of there, for most of the time and, pull back the barbed wire and you kind of walk through the barbed wire to get down here to the, creek and the kids would come down and swim. But this is a shot that was taken when 34 students, wanted to follow the Lord in obedience with baptism. 34 students this year that wanted the world to know that they had met Jesus and they wanted to walk with him with their lives. And so Pastor Dean Buffalo there and John Grandchamp and Arlen Edwards, all of them baptizing kids and, seeing them not only meeting Jesus in that emotional place where God just says, I'm going to pour my ointment on your hurts, but to follow that up with saying, I'm making a decision that I'm going to follow Christ in obedience and baptism and reading my devotions. We have an IYC tour. We're leaving in about a month, the 28th, April 28th, to do a tour, a three-stop tour where a couple of youth groups are coming together and we're going to be having worship services there. We do this every year, twice a year. And, but I could go on and on. And, that's part of the team that travels with us when we do the IYC tours. And, but I think what I'm trying to say this morning is that God gives all of us assignments in life. I didn't know I was going to be a missionary. I just didn't know. I really never saw it coming. But God called us to go to Browning and to be here in Montana for the rest of our lives, I think. To spend our time investing in the lives of Native children and teenagers. For you, God has assignments in your life because there's so much power in this gospel that the Apostle Paul talked about for everyone who believes. So our job is just to say, Lord, how do you want to use me to be an instrument for somebody else to believe? You know, sometimes it's our family. And honestly, I've got one brother left that, I don't know just how God's going to do it. But, whatever it is that you have a burden for, don't lose faith. Continue to believe. Some of the things you do are going to be your physical assignments to go. Other times it's going to be God speaking to your heart, bringing to mind something you just need to be praying about. Other times it's going to be finances. I loved what you said at the beginning of the service when you went into the offering time. This is just another act of worship. When I give my resources to God, yeah, sure, God, you gave it all to me. But it's my act of worship to be able to say, some of the ways you want to use my life is by taking what you've blessed me with and giving me an opportunity to invest it in whatever way finances can help this gospel message reach somebody else, because it's for everyone who will believe. There's not one person that Jesus didn't die for. Not one person. And, you know, I don't know what God has in store for Conrad, but it's pretty exciting to see what's happening right here in this building. I'll tell you that. The life of Christ, and you just have that feeling when you come in here that the Lord is here. And Pastor Dave, you and Charity, I mean, I remember a little bit of your story of the struggle you went through to leave Libby and how it was a God thing. And look what God had in mind. Praise the Lord. And, we're here as missionaries. We're raising our support. We have quite a bit of monthly support we need to raise to get to the amount we need to be, and funds we raise each year for IYC, and so that we can stay as full-time missionaries. We fundraise about $25,000 a year, above and beyond what the kids only pay $80 to come to camp for a week. We fundraise the other $120 for each student, and God has supplied that. We're not here this morning to talk about us or to be about us. It's about what is God speaking to you to be involved in your community and all the things that God has assigned for you to do, and through your finances and through your prayers to invest in places that you don't go yourself. And we're privileged to be a part of the same family with you. And Pastor Dave, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I don't know if the worship team comes or how you normally do that. I forgot to look at my my time, and so I hope I didn't go way over. So, but we love you guys so much, and we'll be back at the table. There's some cards back there. There's two kinds of cards there. Let's see if I've got one here. These are our prayer cards for the kids. Images of kids, statements that they have made. We use them for a lot of things. We use them for fundraisers too, but today they're here just for, if you want to be adding these to where you pray for people, please take one of these cards. And then the other is our missionary card that just has our information on there. And we appreciate your partnership with us through prayer as well. But we'll be around if you have any questions or any comments. Blessings to you.